The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 405, recorded on November 13th, 2015. Welcome to the 405th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 238th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Scott Dirk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So yeah, the 13th. This happens to be the Friday, the 13th.
Yeah, it's been quite the Friday, the 13th, apparently.
Really? Well, nothing bad happened to me. I'll take that as an omen that I'll win the lottery. So.
Well, I wouldn't say bad things happen to me, stressful things happen to me, but Paris has just gotten really wrecked tonight.
Paris?
Mm-hmm.
You're in Paris?
They've had a series of terrorist attacks.
Oh. I thought you were actually in Paris and something was bad happening to you.
No, but Paris has been several attacks in there. I just had a little bit of a stressful day, but compared to that, that's nothing. So, yeah.
The thing is that Paul was going to be on tonight's podcast, but he had to go in for some medical stuff, so not this
hope
week.
He's okay.
He's fine. It's just, you know, bad timing. So what have you been playing? As if I didn't know.
Fallout 4. I've been playing that every chance I get, and I've enjoyed the game. I've enjoyed some of the customization stuff you can do in there, which is more detailed than...
Yeah, I mean, Game Watcher has been doing... We've been posting a crap ton of mods, that even from day one. I've been playing the Xbox One version, so I've been getting achievements. I mean, we get mods too at some point, but not now. And I really don't care. I don't need the mods. I mean, there is a cheat that you can use to go into this this practice area, or the developer test area. You know, you can do anything you want there and stuff like that. I've been playing Fallout 4 as well. And, you know, it's strange to say, but I really haven't interacted with Dogmeat at all. Because the person I've been tooling around the entire wasteland with is Nick Valentine, who's a far more interesting character.
Yeah, the dog is just kind of there. He doesn't really do anything.
Which is unfortunate, because I wasted two perks on him. For him tackling enemies and tearing them apart. So, those are two wasted perks. But I have been enjoying upgrading. I'm a gun nut level 2, so I upgraded a suppressor onto a gun I found called the Instigator. And
nice.
It does double damage. It normally does double damage when you hit someone who hasn't been hurt yet.
Yeah, there's some good perks. The Sandman increases damage on silenced guns, and you can do your ninja stealth attack with it.
But here's the thing, is that I haven't gotten that perk yet, but I did get a suppressor for that gun, so I'm able to, so I'll see what happens when I do that. I mean, it doesn't sound too sound, but I guess the effect is sound.
I'm loving the weather in the game, the radioactive rain and the...
Yeah, I mean, that's when the wind blows in from the glowing sea. I didn't even understand what was going on at the time. No matter where I was on the map, I was getting radiated.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what was going on, and then I knew, because at one point you have to go there as part of the main quest. So it's...
Okay.
Fortunately, the power armor protects you from that, but I hadn't gotten the power armor yet.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten it yet either.
Oh, I did get it, but the thing is that I had to leave it at Concord, and I went back to get it, of course.
There's lots of armors you can get, so you can stock up apparently on like 8 sets or something like that. One of my friends that did that collected a whole bunch of power armor. And
I spray painted my power armor with the Vault Tech logo.
Yeah.
So I'll get even. You see, my character has 10 charisma. So.
Oh.
I haven't gotten that perk in which you point your gun at someone and if they're lower level than you, they'll join you.
Right.
So I haven't done that yet. The thing is that I did some of the harder quests before I should have. So now I'm doing some of the stuff that Preston wants you to do, which is to liberate other communities. And it's like with my gun, it's poing, headshot, you're dead. Poing, headshot, you're dead. Poing, headshot,
wow.
You're dead. because they're all lower levels than me now. I did not do anything. So I still have the gun that he gives you, which is my go-to weapon for a lot of stuff, especially on turrets, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm only level 14, and for my sense, people in the first round have 80 to 100 hours, so we'll see. I haven't been sprinting through the main quest line.
I've been trying to take my time, although, again, I haven't been playing as much as I'd like. But
I don't know where I am on the main quest line anyway.
Through quest lines.
I mean, minor spoiler, I haven't gone after the Institute yet, but I'm ready to when I want to. But I have a feeling that I better start buffing myself before I try anything like that. So I'm just doing these other quests to level up. So I didn't think I would be doing it, but I chose to get to Gun Nut level 2 so that I could get the suppressor. You know.
Yeah. That seems good, so that way you can do more advanced modding.
I also had to get one science!
Of course.
I might have to get armor just to be able to do an armor mod on my thing that looks really neat. So.
Yeah, I think that's good to do.
But I did mod my my power armor, so it gets the bright glow. I haven't seen it in action yet, but I had to hunt everywhere for aluminum for it.
Oh.
That's one of the things I like, is that now the junk, actually, you can break it down and you can see what it can be broken down into. The problem is that I don't have a very high strength.
Well,
so,
I can give it to
the robot and say, here, hold on to this. There's a lot of people I didn't know you could be your companions, like beer-making robot. His name is Buddy. Apparently, I was given the option to take him for myself and let him be my traveling buddy. And I guess one of the side effects is not only do you have him as a traveling buddy and you can fire, he has a flamethrower and lasers built in.
There you go.
But he also makes you cold beer.
That's all good, right?
Yeah, but I completed the quest, gave it to the people at the Rexton, and you know, the guy wanted it at the Rexton, so I got experience in caps instead. So.
Okay, well, that was nice then.
Yeah, I mean, I already had my robot detective friend walking around with me, and the thing is that I got enough that what's it called? See, he likes it when you're charitable and you help people out, you know, and all that. So I managed to get his opinion of me pretty high fairly quickly. So it's like, you know, it's sort of Dragon Age-ish, you know, when your partner's want to talk to you and stuff like that. That's what he does. That's what he did twice. You know, I wonder what would happen if I just kept on stealing and robbing and shooting innocent people and killing them, if he would leave me, or if he'd just walk around with me being disgusted. I have a feeling he would leave me, or maybe attack. I don't know. But
yeah,
he...
Baldur's Gate had some mechanics. If your reputation went too low, some of them would attack you, or, you know, it would break them from you. So I don't know if Fallout has that mechanic or not. Seems like something that should be there, but, you know...
It probably is. I mean, he wouldn't be talking about, you know, I didn't know what kind of guy you were, you know, and all that stuff. So it makes it sound like if it had been a prick, he would have left me. And I'm pretty sure there are evil characters, just like there was in Fallout 3 and in Fallout Las Vegas, like the, I forgot his name, but he was a raider who you could recruit. And he didn't mind as a matter of fact, he liked you when you started bullying other people and shooting them and stuff like that. One day I'm going to take a save file and then see how many people I could kill in good neighbor. Just to, I you know, for some reason I just want to kill the boss there, the good guy, ghoul boss, who's the president he's named after. But I just want to kill him just to see how the town would react. Maybe they would all attack me, probably. But what if I did it enough that they said, hey, you're the boss now? I'm just curious to see what would happen. You know, you can, of course, lay waste to everybody and everything if you wanted to. I mean, that's what I did on one run of Fallout 3. I just killed everybody I saw.
Yeah, I've seen the kill everything videos that some people have done where they just shoot everything and everyone, and it just looks really crazy.
Do you remember Fallout 3, the entire thing with the Tenpenny Tower?
I didn't get that far.
In Fallout 3, it's one of the first things you do. It's Tenpenny Tower, but when you're in Megaton, the guy who's running it, his name is Tenpenny, and he has the Tenpenny Tower, which is his place, right? And there's ghouls that want you to have them let them in, right? But the people in there are rich. They don't want to let the ghouls in. So you can actually convince everybody to say, yeah, the ghouls aren't so bad, and let the ghouls move in. The problem is if you do that, when you come back, the ghouls have massacred all the humans, including the nice ghouls. And it's all because the lead ghoul is a psychopath. And I've always tried to kill him, but leave the nice ghouls alive before I did all that, just to see if they would coexist, you know?
But I guess it doesn't work.
Yeah, I decided I was going to kill the ghouls because why bother? I know that Three Dog calls you a scumbag, but I'd rather have that than have the ghouls just turn around and kill everybody in the building. You know.
Wow, that's pretty terrible. I mean,
did you play Fallout 3?
Yeah, I have. I did the I can't beat the minefield, and I cleaned out the elementary school, and that's about all I did. And the supermarket that's nearby. But I haven't done Tenpenny yet.
By the way, I don't care if I nuke Megaton or not. I just don't care.
Okay.
either way, I don't really care. I usually don't, but if I do, it's like, I don't care. Although, what's good is that if you can get... you can actually get the mysterious stranger who wants you to nuke... to get him to attack the sheriff and have them attack each other. They kill each other, and then you get all their neat stuff without having a hit. You know, just instigate things between them.
Wow, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah. So, the Brotherhood of Steel is in Fallout 4. Have you encountered them yet?
Nope.
Okay.
I've just gotten to Concord. I did the Call of Freedom where you fight off the Raiders.
Hey, wait. When you fought the Raiders, did a Deathclaw pop up?
Yep, the Deathclaw comes up.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because that was supremely annoying. I figured out how to deal with them, though. Even though you could barely kill him yourself, it's not a good idea. What you do is you lure him to where... I forgot his name. I forgot his name, and I was just playing. Anyway, the guy who hired you to clear out the you coax him into the main street, and then you enter the building. Then you run up to where he is, and he'll gun him down with his laser rifle, and you can gun him and kill it with a minigun.
Yeah, and what I did was as soon as I got the power armor, I just went to the top of the roof and I saw where the Deathclaw was, and I just shot at the Deathclaw.
I tried. He kept on hiding behind the building, so I thought it would just be easier to have some help. When you go into the Burning Sea, a good way to deal with the Rad Scorpions there is just to attract them and lure them over to where the settlement is, and they have some really advanced guns. I have no idea what the guns are. I'm not that high level yet. I know that's one place I'm not going to screw with, because they have weaponry that's far beyond what I would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll slaughter the Rad Scorpions for you, which is good. Oh, by the way, what did you do with the Deathclaw meat and claw?
I haven't done anything with it.
Okay, save it, because when you get to a... when you start making recipes, the stuff that you can make with the claw... not the claw. I mean, the stuff you can make with the meat is really nice. And you can make a melee... I haven't seen this yet, but it shows you on the... you know the screens which give you hints about the game?
Yeah.
One of them showed a weapon that you can make with a death claw.
Nice.
Which is basically... the hand attached to something.
Mm.
But I found something else. I found irradiated boxing gloves.
Good lord.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound safe to use.
No, but it's actually quite... But I'm not specking my guy to be a melee person, so it's pointless.
I think it's always good to have a melee and ranged weapon, because, you know, enemies will run right up to you sometimes.
Not when you have the... I have a nuclear shotgun that I found.
Jeez.
That takes care of people who get too close. A lot of... If when you see stuff that are legendary, you know, little stars next to them...
Yeah.
When you kill them, they drop something. They drop an item that's going to be a special item, and you'll know it's special because your character will say, "Gee, nice!" when you picks it up. So
yeah, I think my character said "sweet" when she picked something up at one point.
Oh, okay. Did you name her Furiosa?
No, I.
It's one of the names.
Pandora.
So yeah, it's not one of the items. But I was talking about. They have like 940 names. Now, Scott is one of them. But Jonah is not, and Kyle is not.
Aww. Kyle, really? Wow.
Kyle is not one of the names, but what is names is all the characters from the Mad Max films. So you have Toe Cutter, you have Rokitansky, you have Furiosa, you have Imperator, you have Splendid, you have everybody from the Mad Max films. You have other people like White, who is from Breaking Bad. You have and they have they don't have Jonah, but they do have tits, titties, sex, sex face, arse face, fuck face. They have all a fucker, but they don't have Jonah.
Yeah, that's just weird. But I don't understand.
I started a second character, and I named her Furiosa, and Codsworth greets you, says, "Oh, Miss Furiosa," you know, and all that stuff. But the reason I did it is, hey, you know what? It's too good to pass up. I made her, gave her a crew cut, what's it called? Gave her heavy eye makeup, made her thin. So basically, I'm playing Imperator Furiosa in Fallout 4. So I'm, you know, from Mad Max Fury Road, the Charlize Theron character. So I'm doing that after I do my run as a male character. And I'm, see, my male character is nice and all that stuff. I'm having her be constantly sarcastic. If there's an option for sarcastic, she'll take the sarcastic response.
That's, yeah, I try to stay away from that because I don't know if it really makes a difference.
Well, it does make a difference because they do have opinions. Oh, by the way, they will recognize sometimes what you wear. Like one character says they recognize me even though I'm not wearing my vault uniforms because I have a Pip-Boy and all that. And if I was wearing my vault uniform, they would have just pointed out I was wearing a vault uniform.
Oh.
So... another minor spoiler is that at one point you kill one of the bad guy's agents, and I said, "Fuck it." He comes with his own set of clothes, so yeah. I'm wearing his clothes now, and I'm going to see if anybody recognizes that I'm wearing this famous badass's clothes.
I found some drifter's clothes, and I took those because it looked nice. I don't know if anyone will recognize it or not, but that's interesting.
In the thing, you know, what's it called? They have gangster clothes when you kill some guys who are dressed like gangsters. They also have this guy dressed in a tuxedo, and what's it called? I mean, he's not a bad guy, you know, he's just a regular townsperson. I wonder if I killed him and I stole his tuxedo clothes and I walked around the wasteland wearing a tuxedo and a top hat.
That would be funny, yes.
So, anyways, yeah. Did you go to your old place? Because Sanctuary is basically where you used to live before the...
Yes.
Okay. They have the thing there that allows you to upgrade and repair your vault, your power suit.
There's a little... There's a yellow armor setup thing. Yeah, I saw that.
So it's when you look through the gun modifications you can make, it's usually it says, "Oh, I need to unlock gun nut 1 or gun nut 2," and it influences what you can do with your perks. I want to redo my perks and get rid of the dog perks because I'm not tooling around with dog meat.
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason, I'm not dealing with dog meat. I don't need dog meat. He can. I did build a dog house for him.
Aww.
So I don't know where he is actually. he's somewhere in I think he might be in a different town. I don't know. I don't care because I don't need him. I already met like 6 people you could possibly recruit. And by the way, this is a minor spoiler, but the guy who hired you to take out all the things from the the guy in the who calls himself a Minuteman.
Yeah.
At some point, he offers himself to be your buddy as well. He doesn't want to lead. He wants to make you the leader of the Minutemen. So, yeah. And that's the way it is in these games anyway. You're never going to work under someone in a role-playing game. They're always going to work... You know, you ever play Dragon Age Origins?
Only a little bit.
Do you remember Alistair, who's the only other Grey Warden... Makes you the leader of the Grey Wardens in the area, even though he has a little more experience than you. So,
I would think he would have a lot more experience than me. But,
no, he's also a newcomer. From what he says, it's like he became a Grey Warden like a few months before you. He's not that much older than you.
Really, he looks quite a bit. I mean, like at least 10 years older.
He's young. He's like 20 something. Listen to read what he says.
He's the guy that recruits you, right?
No, he's... Duncan gets killed.
Oh, thank you.
Duncan gets killed. It's the blonde guy. It's the blonde guy who goes with you, Alistair.
Oh, okay, I forgot. I haven't gotten farther than that tower you're supposed to defend during the battle.
You know what? Go on the internet and find out the cheat codes, and just remember the phrase, kill all enemies. It makes the game go a lot faster and a lot less frustrating.
Yeah, because that's...
Kills all enemies in the area. That's what I do with Dragon Age 2, because the combat in that is so boring. Anyways, we will be discussing Fallout 4. First game news. Oh, wait, I've also been playing Halo 5, but I put that on pause. I'm really liking now Fallout 5, Halo 5 a lot, including the multiplayer modes that I thought I didn't like, but now I really love Warzone, and I really enjoy doing Arena. There's certain arenas that I like to do others, you know, and it doesn't help that I was ranked Platinum. See, what happens is you play 10 missions of a certain type of game, and then it ranks you based on how you did. And on one type, Fortress, I got scored a Platinum, and on SWAT, I got scored a Gold. So apparently I'm very good at those modes, so those modes I play. And I'm less bitchy about the microtransactions now, because I'm finding with regular play, I'm able to get Gold, which normally costs $3. I'm able to get Gold fairly quickly. So, I don't... You know, it's a good balance, because microtransactions should be... You can get this quick enough, but if you really are in a rush, you can just buy it. You know? But so long as it isn't, you know, a grind over a week or something like that, or even over 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you play hard for... If you play, like, 6 hours straight, which I don't do, but, you know, you can probably get a Gold... You know, Gold, what's it called, pack. And since I pre-ordered, I also get the occasional Warzone pack. Anyway. So, yeah, the first game news does deal with Fallout 4. Bethesda sells 12 million units of Fallout 4 for $750 million at launch, and this comes to us from Game Watcher. Bethesda Softworks has announced that Fallout 4 has sold over 12 million units over three platforms on launch to a whopping $750 million payday, which included the special Fallout 4 Pip-Boy edition of the game, which sold out 3 times over the course of the pre-orders. Fallout 4 was released on November 10th, 2015. Wow, only 3 days ago. It feels like I've been playing it forever now. Doesn't it feel like you've been playing Fallout 4 for, like, a month now, even though it hasn't been?
No, I feel like I've played a total of about 5 hours. I haven't had a whole lot of time to play it, so it hasn't felt like that.
Yeah, one thing, I'm glad I didn't get the Pip-Boy edition, because it's just basically a molded thing, like I said.
Yeah.
And actually, people have found that it's a lot easier to use something like an iPad
mm-hmm.
for your thing, because it's nice and big. Big screen, so you can point out things. And I've less and less used my iPad at all and just used the in-game Pip-Boy. You know, just press
yeah.
B, select, you know, and all that stuff. Although, I might go back to using my iPad simply because scrolling through your ingredients... I don't know why they haven't fixed that yet. I mean, yeah, I know they have categories like weapons and items and miscellaneous and all that stuff, but really, just scrolling down reams and reams of text to get what you want, they could have found something easier way to do it, in my
There'll
eyes.
There'll probably be a mod like there was for Skyrim to do a better inventory system.
But Skyrim at least has a code wheel. It has a wheel select, doesn't it?
A wheel select? I don't remember a wheel being in there.
Oh, I'm going to have to play Skyrim again. It's somewhere in my computer. I have it on Steam. I can always check to see. I haven't played Skyrim in several years.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike Fallout 4, I got supremely tired of the Elder Scrolls. Been playing since Daggerfall. I've had enough of it. It was just too much. It isn't as interesting as Fallout 4 is, basically. You know? And part of it is relatability, since, you know, we're not dealing with orcs and elves, we're dealing with mutants and super mutants and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, you have a laser gun, you know, and there's a lot more, ranged weaponry is a lot more prevalent in Fallout than it is in Skyrim. Skyrim, you're usually swinging a sword or, and I've never found a bow and arrow to be all that effective in a Elder Scrolls game, ever. I mean, you have to use magic for ranged attacks.
Well, there are some people that have done pretty well with stealth-ranged sniper attacks with bows. I remember one of my friends did, like, a whole focus. She was, like, this ranger, and she did a whole bunch of sneaking around and shooting people with bows from a distance. You have to be in stealth, and then you can double your bow attack. quadrupled or whatever. It was pretty good, I thought. But I mean, you know, everybody has a different play styles, and for me, I like fantasy setting, and I don't know how that's less relatable than monsters and lasers and ghouls, but
you know what I would like, though? I would like an open world game, that's in the Fallout mode, that's in the Skyrim mode, but set in modern day, you know? I'm not talking about Just Cause, you know, or Grand Theft Auto. I'm talking about a role-playing game that is like a Fallout game, except it's set in this modern day. It can be science fiction, right? But I would like it to be set in the here and now. I mean, that's, oddly enough, now is not a popular setting. You know, I would like to see a game that's sort of like The Secret World, in which all these conspiracies are true, you know, and everything H.P. Lovecraft said was true, and everything that Aleister Crowley said was true, you know, the Illuminati and the demons and the aliens and all that stuff, all crammed together in one set. That's what I want.
I think that's what you're looking for is Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Cthulhu. Yeah, I guess. I mean, some people might say, well, you already have with Deus Ex, you know. But, if it's possible, you know. Oh, yeah, actually, that could work because then you could include magic if you're going to have Call of Cthulhu. Yeah. I mean, there was only one Call of Cthulhu game that I can remember, and it was actually an action RPG first person. It wasn't. Actually, it was sort of like, it was more like Deus Ex, though, than it was like Elder Scrolls.
I think people want to try to escape as much as possible.
That is escape. But you're escaping from your own time, you know? I mean, when the Dark Ones come and Yuggoth and Cthulhu start tooling around, you know? You know what game I'd really like to play again is Hellgate? Hellgate London? I still have the box there. It's Diablo except set in modern time.
Okay.
But each class has their own mode, and when you were a ranged class, you actually were in first person, while everybody else was in third person. So I'm looking at Hellgate London as I speak. It's right next to Tabula Rasa. How ironic is that? So yeah. Now, before we get on to the next news item, there is something I want to talk about, and that is the new Xbox experience started today, or yesterday, actually, and I had a nasty shock, and that is it no longer recognized Mass Effect for backwards compatibility. It claimed that it was not a backwards compatible title, and I was confused until I realized, oh, I know what the problem is. I have Mass Effect Limited Edition. And for some reason, they forgot to let I was able to play it before it rolled out for everybody else. But I guess they forgot to tell Microsoft, hey, you know, you made more than one version. And the reason why I know this is because someone else complained that their Gears of War 3 Collector's Edition wasn't working. So, yeah. It's a pretty easy fix, though. You know, you just make it recognize that disc. You know, that's all. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of cheesy. And it was frustrating, too, because the downloadable content I bought for it was there waiting for me. So I deleted it. I'll try it again when it's, you know, when they fix that problem. But I will say this. Do you ever play Ikaruga?
No.
Okay, it's a bullet hell game. And it's one of those games which I absolutely suck at, but it's so hypnotic that I don't mind sucking at it. You ever have a game like that in which you really suck but you don't care?
No.
Really? Oh. You want to win.
If I really suck, I generally stop playing.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that, let me put it this way, it isn't because of the game's fault, it's my fault, and I can see what I'm doing wrong, and I can try to improve it. So it's not like the game is unfair. It's just that I have to concentrate harder. So, yeah, I also re-downloaded Plants vs. Zombies from the Xbox 360 version. Just to see it work, you know. So, backwards compatibility is working, just not on the game I want to play most on it. So, yeah. We're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Let's see. October 2015, NPD, Xbox One won the month despite PS4 price drop. This is from PlayStation Lifestyle. Even the PlayStation 4 price drop to $349.99, or we could just say $350. On October 9th, the Xbox One was the number one selling console in the United States in October 2015, according to NPD data reported by Microsoft.
Now, here's the thing. You know that they'll always, the person who won the month will always do the reporting. Usually it's Sony because the PlayStation 4 is winning the month, but when Microsoft wins the month, they're the first. Hey, guess what? The NPD said we were number one this month. So, okay. Yeah, to the winners go the spoils of announcing.
Okay. And they get a free internet cookie, I guess.
Yeah.
In a statement from Xbox marketing boss Mike Nichols, Halo 5 Guardians was highlighted as one of the big reasons for the victory. With the Xbox One growth up 81% compared to October 2014, they also saw record Xbox Live usage for October. Sony also issued a statement from NPD Report saying they are truly humbled by the success of PlayStation 4 and thanked fans for making PlayStation 4 the top-selling console globally.
Oh, isn't that precious?
Yeah.
I noticed Nintendo didn't say anything.
I wonder,
the NPD no longer reports the actual figures.
Right.
And I want to know how the Wii U did. Out of morbid curiosity, because I want to see if it beat out the Wii. Because, remember, for a long time there, the Wii was beating the Wii U.
Yeah.
Months after they discontinued it. Well, you know, this brings us back to the NX, and we're still trying to figure out what the heck the NX is going to be.
No idea, but I hope it does better than Wii U was doing.
Yeah. Do you have any interest in the NX at all?
I have no idea. I'm just going to wait and see, I guess, and probably just stick to PC.
Because here's the thing. I have a feeling that the NX is where Nintendo's going to fix its mistakes. And it's going to remember that the hardcore base is the hardcore base for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can have all the casual people who jump in for the fad, but just remember, fad is one letter off from fade.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, so, I mean, and you can't continually do the same game over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's why I don't play Pokemon, because they haven't changed it at all in the last 20 years! I'm sorry I sound bitter, but it's true.
Oh, people keep playing it, so I don't know.
I'm not playing it. But then again, I'm not the target audience, which is 10 to 15.
There's in fact a Minecraft Pokemon mod where they bring Pokemon into Minecraft, and you can collect the little monsters and whatnot, and build your little houses or your bases to house your Pokemon.
Yeah, Minecraft is actually finally coming to the Wii U.
I guess I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
And Wii U Zelda is officially slated for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who's the expert on Zelda is not here. So.
Well, maybe I'm not the expert on it, but I like Zelda a lot. I mean, I never.
Well, you know Paul's gripes about Zelda, right?
Well, I'm not sure Paul's specific gripes. I mean, other than maybe it's not. It hasn't had enough. Breaking its own theme of Ganon and
it hasn't evolved, he says.
Yeah.
You know? So
there have been Zeldas where you weren't fighting Ganon and
actually, I think his main complaint is it's gotten too easy and hand-holdy.
Yeah, that's definitely. I can see that. I can agree with that concept. I think Nintendo really. Yeah, you're right. Nintendo does forget that they have older fans. I really feel like. They're constantly of the mindset that they're talking to little children, and it's really obnoxious.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Zero Punctuation, Croshaw, talked about this one game. I forgot which one it was. I think it was a 3DS game, and he said he would have had more fun in case the game kept on telling him what to do. Say, remember, here is an axe, and here is the door. You're supposed to use the axe on the door, and if you didn't know that, you have to use the axe on the door, and you use the A button. You know?
They should really do, like, I think, really, if they wanted to really get this fixed, you know, do, like, an age thing for some of these games. Say, what is your age? And you put it in, and it will set it to adult if you're actually adult. Although, I don't know if that actually worked, never mind.
It's difficulty level.
It's like, I don't know. I just wish Nintendo would remember that some adults are still playing the game, and they're not, and not actually casual adults, but like hardcore. They've been around since the 80s. They've been playing.
They're not all over 65 either.
Yeah. So it's just saying that, you know, they would like to not be treated like their children, you know, and even children deserve to be not treated like the way Nintendo does that, you know, just so hand-holdy and talking down to, like, great example is Animal Crossing and that stupid mole that tells you, oh, you resetti if you reset your game or if it loses power or whatever, and he sits there lecturing you. There was even a news article where they had microtransactions on one of their games. I don't know which game it was. A little grabber thing, and they wanted you to pay $1 for every 5 tries. And he said, why isn't this free? And it sits there lecturing you about, oh, well, we can't, these badges don't grow on trees, you know, and we can't do this for free, and da da da. And I couldn't help but think, gee, Minecraft, I only bought once with $20, and I haven't given them a single dime, and yet somehow they have found a way to keep making money. You know, I don't know.
Those skins, you know, I mean, people will buy them.
But that's Xbox. No,
it's on the PC, too. They have skins on
PC. I haven't bought a single skin for PC.
I'm just saying, you don't have to. You don't have to. No one said you had to, but, you know, you could if you wanted to.
I haven't even seen them for sale for PC.
They have Minecraft stores all over the place. Anyways. And they also have their ancillary stuff. I mean, you can buy a Minecraft sword in a Toys R Us or a Best Buy if you want.
That's not the same at all. That's like, I can buy a Link sword. I'm not going to hold that against
you,
them.
You went as a rebel trooper. Why didn't you go as a Minecraft character for Halloween?
Because Minecraft character is Steve and Alex, and I wanted to be a Jedi. I've never gotten to dress up like one, and that's
you dress up as Jedi, or is it Rebel Trooper?
A Jedi. I was Obi-Wan.
Because I was hoping you might have become Porkins, or... Oh, damn, what was the name of Luke's friend?
Chantilly's?
Yeah, actually, you know, one of the interesting things is that he actually had a lot of backstory, and he had an entire novel devoted to him.
Yep.
You know, and in the original script, he was going to have a much, 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 much bigger role. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but then the poor actor has a big fan following, and
really?
I think that got wiped out in the EU consolation or whatever you want to call it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I think Wedge's identity is pretty much just Wedge now, as far as I'm concerned.
Are you saying a prayer for Wedge? Is that what you're doing? Hey, maybe Wedge will appear in episode 7.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there's another Starfighter guy named Poe Dameron. I have no idea who he is, but they made a pop vinyl figure of him, and I have no idea who he is, but he's in the pop vinyls for whatever reason.
Well, here's the thing, you know, Dennis Lawson, the guy who played Wedge Antilles, said he rejected a role in episode 7.
Aww, sucks.
Well, you know, I mean, there are some people who don't want to embrace that. I mean, he has sort of, kind of had a, oh, that's right, I forgot. He played Gordon Urquhart in Local Hero. I didn't even realize. So, you know, and Local Hero is one of my favorite what's it called, movies. He was Wedge Antilles in all 3 films, too.
Mm-hmm.
4, 5, and 6. I didn't even know that. We learned something. Who was the guy who was in, the poor guy who was in Luke's snowspeeder in Empire Strikes Back? You know, the guy who thinks he could take on the Empire all by himself. Dak? I think his name was Dak, wasn't it? Yeah, his name was Dak.
Okay.
Remember? And he was too happy. That's why he got crushed the thing is that Riff Trax made fun of that, in that Luke assumed he was dead, right? But they made it like he actually survived that laser hit. And it's like, Luke, where are you going? You got a heli? No! Crunch!
Well, I barely remember that part. I just know that Luke jumped out and took down the whole thing with his grappling hook and lightsaber did.
Yeah.
yeah, that whole thing made me forget all about that guy, so I don't know.
You know, so the other thing is that people on the Xbox One are playing Star Wars Battlefront right now, thanks to EA Access, you know, and they're finding a lot of interesting stuff, like, while the game's installing, they actually have a mode in which you play Darth Vader and you have to kill as many rebel scum as you can, using the Force and your lightsaber and all that. All it is you're just killing people. You're walking down the thing and killing people.
Yeah, there was, I forget what, one of the Star Wars games where you're playing the Starkiller guy and the prologue, yeah. You're Darth Vader, and you're attacking Wookiees, but you can also kill your stormtroopers.
Oh yeah, but you're supposed to, because they're better use as cannon fodder. You know, just picking them up and throwing them at Wookiees.
You can get achievement too if you kill like a certain amount of stormtroopers.
What's the achievement? Bad boss or something?
Like manager's worst day or something like that.
Yeah, that was Jedi Force. No, damn it, I forgot. Force Unleashed. Star Wars Force Unleashed.
Unleashed.
Yeah. So anyways, getting back to the item. Halo 5, it only had 4 days. It was released on October 27th. In those 4 days, it probably sold... was the major reason why a bunch of people bought Xbox Ones. And, you know, it's... the thing is that right now, this is the most important time to get someone to buy your console. Because when someone buys a console, either for themselves or for family members or whatever friends, you know, for Christmas or whatever holiday, you know, during Black Friday, you know, once your console is in there, it's in there, you know, and then people are going to buy games for it. You know, once you get a console in the thing, you know, the Xbox One tends to have a good attach rate. Microsoft just wants people to buy the console and get it in their living room. And then start watching TV through it. See, that's the secret right there. I play my Xbox One every day because I watch TV through it. I'm playing watching TV. And it's funny because when you look at my thing, it says, Jonah Falcon is watching TV. So, yeah, that's my game. That's my most played game is TV. But the thing is that, you know, once the console is in there, then you have to hope. See, that's why the original Wii faltered. Because they got the console in there, but the people who bought the console didn't care about other games. They just wanted the games that came with the console. You know, they wanted just a bowl, or to play tennis, or to play with the Miis, you know, that sort of thing. But they never bought any other games. And, I don't know, it taught Nintendo a lesson that third party counts.
Yeah, it should. They need to let new ideas in, and... hopefully that's what is going to happen with their new CEO.
Well, we have to see if they're sending dev kits. When we hear that they're sending dev kits, then we'll know that they're serious about it.
Okay.
You know, I'm guessing they're going to announce the NX at E3 of 2016. And they'll have a release either of Christmas 2016 or the middle of the year 2017. So I would estimate that they would be handing out either dev kits either now or by June. They have to, you know. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what their list of games will be like.
There's obviously going to be a Zelda, a Metroid, a Mario.
Not obviously. No, not obviously. I mean, we didn't have a Zelda for launch of the Wii U. What did we have? Do we have a Mario as a launch?
I'm sure we had a Mario. We always have a
no,
Mario.
The Wii didn't
Mario
have a Mario.
Galaxy.
Wii did not have a Mario game as a launch. It had Luigi as a launch. if you remember, it had Luigi's, was it Mansion?
I don't know when Mario Galaxy came out. I know there's been two
that
Mario
was, Galaxy. That was way after the launch of the Wii U. That was like a year and a half after the launch or something like that. And it was a great, everybody was just cheering because it was an actual game that they wanted to play aside from Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I did play Twilight Princess. I enjoyed that game.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Rapper predicts Smash Brothers' future, and this comes from GamesRadar. When Nintendo revealed that Cloud Strife would join Super Smash Brothers as a DLC character yesterday, the internet was stunned. Here was an ancient schoolyard myth come true. A decade and a half later, despite Final Fantasy VII never appearing on a Nintendo platform, but one man saw it coming. Whether geeky rapper Cashamille anime boy saw the news in a prophetic vision, or read about a document that fell out of a crack from a Nintendo executive briefcase, or just made a wild guess to rile up his followers. Here's what he tweeted in June 2011. Super Smash Bros. Is going to be on 3DS. I heard Cloud from Final Fantasy VII will be in Super Smash Bros. For Wii 2 at Nintendo. He sent the tweet on the same day that the Wii U was officially announced. He got the Wii... It was not Wii 2, guy. So he got that wrong from his prediction. Anyway, long after Nintendo had made any indication that the next Smash Brothers would appear on both the Wii U and 3DS, and yet every word, aside from calling the Wii successor Wii 2, which might have been a better idea from a brand awareness standpoint, turned out to be true. Mr. Anime Boy has spent most of the time since the Nintendo Direct retweeting how many Nintendo fans amazed by his prophecy, but he's still keeping quiet on how he made that call. Chances are it was just a really lucky guess amid a sea of Smash Brothers predictions, but if it had a working crystal ball, I'd probably keep it on the down low, too. By the way, this reminded me of something, and now I completely forgot what it was. Oh, yeah, Nintendo Direct. This was the first Nintendo Direct without Shigeru Miyamoto. And a lot of this is the first time that it actually hit people that he was dead. Was it Miyamoto? No, Iwata. I'm sorry. I'm gonna cut that out. So okay. This Nintendo Direct was the first one without Shigeru Iwata, and that was the first time that people really realized he was dead because he wasn't doing the Nintendo Direct, and the guy that sometimes does it with him was running the Nintendo Direct. So.
What is the Nintendo Direct? I've never seen this.
Oh, it's sort of like when Larry Nelson makes announcements.
Okay.
Larry Herb. Major Nelson makes announcements. That's basically what Shigeru Iwata did. So, I'm going to make sure I got that right.
I think the article was right that this guy just made some lucky guesses. I mean, I'm not really surprised that Smash Brothers was on Wii U and the 3DS. I mean, that's pretty... I think you can make like a safe bet that Smash Brothers will go on the NX eventually, even if it's not launched. Eventually, there'll be a Smash Brothers on it. But getting that Cloud is on there is really interesting because I thought... I mean, I don't know how he guessed that, just like Cloud, but the fact that it is actually on there, though, it makes me wonder, and that there's going to be a Final Fantasy VII HD remake. I don't know if, like, they rent out the character, or if there's something more going on. It just feels kind of strange that they would let their IP be on because of their competition. I mean, I know they see each other's competition, so I don't know why they would do something that appears to be cooperative. Unless there's something really in it for them. I don't know. Maybe they just rented out the character. It's like, you want to use it, you got to pay us this much. But I don't know.
But it's a Square Enix character. I mean, it's not like it's not like Nintendo doesn't care about Square Enix or vice versa.
So it's not Sony? Sony doesn't have any rights to it, or...?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, I was confused then.
It appeared... Final Fantasy VII was on a Sony console. Let me see.
Right, yeah, I know
Final Fantasy VII. The publisher was Square Enix and Eidos. Oh, but you know what? Sony did publish it. But here's the thing, is that when they... That's for the PlayStation versions, sometimes they collaborate. So no, yeah. It's not a, it's not Sony putting a Sony character on. It's like Microsoft and Mass Effect. Microsoft published the Mass Effect, Mass Effect. It didn't mean that Shepard wasn't going to appear on a Sony product. Apparently, he did eventually. So I mean, maybe it's more like if Master Chief appeared on Smash Brothers, but it's still it still made a lot of news that Cloud was appearing in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess Square Enix can sell their characters to whatever console they feel like. Then
they're not selling it to the console; it's their game. It's Nintendo's game. Yeah.
Allowing it to show up on there, getting the right to show up on there, however it's supposed to be phrased. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just wondering about that. I thought there was something more to it, but it's just a third party putting their game or their character on there. So,
well, I guess here's the thing: it's never Final Fantasy VII has never appeared on a Nintendo console.
No,
it's only appeared on PlayStation and Windows. That's it.
So it's like.
So yeah, I mean it's but it isn't too unusual. I mean it's still Square. But
yeah, I mean that's the thing that I just don't understand. I don't know why. Okay, so if Square Enix owns
it also appeared on iOS too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's Final Fantasy games on iOS. You're right.
I mean Final Fantasy VII appeared on iOS. Itself, the game itself.
It's just very
It's strange because he's never appeared on a Nintendo platform.
Right, and I mean, I guess I don't know the particulars about the contracts of who can have what and how these are rented out or whatever you want to phrase it. It just
well, Square developed it, right?
Right, Square developed.
And Seven, I believe, was a co-production between Square and Sony.
Okay, so then yeah, they would have. I don't know, some sort of...
Well, it could be, you know, it could be that Sony had the rights to the character for a certain period of time. I mean, look at the date. No, that's not... See, if it was like 1995 or 1990 or 2005 or something like that, you know, where it's like 15 years, 10 years, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, Square owns the character, which is why it's appearing on Nintendo.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it's a character that's mostly associated. And it's sort of like Sonic appearing on a Nintendo console. Sega's always owned Sonic, right?
Right.
But they don't have a console anymore, so they're just saying, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
And by the way, they've rented out Sonic indefinitely to Nintendo.
Yeah, I noticed.
So, no, literally, they have rented him out. They say, here, he's yours for however long you need to use him.
Yep, I take great joy in that.
Well, but, I mean, it's nice to have Sonic and Mario appearing in the same games.
Mm-hmm. Especially yeah, I know, it is. I mean, it's like, I guess maybe it's a little... I just, you know, I remember
from
a lot
the
of
90s when it was Mario Nintendo versus Stone, Sonic all the time.
It clearly looks like Nintendo can do whatever Sega did, and, you know... I don't know, I guess I... See, like, I am a little bit of a Nintendo fanboy, so I take a little bit of victory there, you know, at
victory?
Least...
Yeah, hey, I loved my Dreamcast. I got it after the Dreamcast was canceled, but they mm-hmm. still released games for the Dreamcast. So, I mean, that's where I got into the 2K series, series.
I'm just saying, I think Nintendo beat Sega. I mean, you know,
actually, that's the only thing I played my Dreamcast for was NBA 2K for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it for a while See, Sega and Microsoft have held hands for a very long time. A lot of the Sega properties went to Microsoft, like Project Gotham Racing was Metropolis Street Racing, you know, and a lot of the times, the 2K games for the most part, for a while, were exclusive to the original Xbox, then they branched out. So, yeah, I mean, I was playing Commodore 64 and Amiga and PC during the time that the console wars were going around, so I really didn't have a... I didn't have any vested interest in any of those consoles. I did play an SNES that a friend had. That's the only way I got to play the Super Mario World. No, the first you know the game that had you that was the first Mario game that was on the SNES. And I also played Star Fox, and that's it. And a little bit of both because I sucked at both. I was too busy with Front Page Sports Football at the time. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item.
Okay. Night Dive, working on complete remake of System Shock, discussing System Shock 3. This is from Game Watcher. In a new interview, the developer of enhanced edition of original 1994 game System Shock, Night Dive Studios has announced that not only are they working on a full remake of System Shock, but they are in talks of making System Shock 3. Night Dive's Stephen Kick is responsible for updating and re-releasing games such as Sid Meier's Colonization, The 11th Hour, and The 7th Guest on Steam, Rules of Good Games. He went through a long journey to bring two other games to Steam, System Shock Enhanced Edition and System Shock 2.
By the way, they also developed... The adventure game "I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream," which is based on the story by Harlan Ellison. So,
Yeah, I've seen that game. That's a crazy game. When Looking Glass Studios was shuttered, all of the rights to the games went to Meadowbrook Insurance, a Michigan-based insurance company. While they weren't interested in doing sequels, and why did they, but never mind. While they weren't interested in doing sequels or even full remake, they were amenable to re-releasing updated versions of the games. However, Kick had no access to the original System Shock 2 coding, but an anonymous French modder calling himself Le Cabreau released a patch for it to work on modern systems, which Kick appropriately legally for free and modern update release for System Shock 2 was born. Kick is currently working on a full remake of System Shock and is working for the game's original concept artist, Robert Waters, to bring the game back to life for modern PCs and consoles. Seeing the difference between his artistic abilities back then compared to now and his ability to reinterpret these ideas has just been really exciting for us, Kick enthused. The producer is now negotiating tooth and nail to develop System Shock 3, but it'll require backing from a publisher, according to Night Dive's head of business development, Larry Cooperman. To really do another game in that series is going to take resources and time and commitment we don't have, and it's really not our core business. Not all of Night Dive's remakes have been successful. An attempt to release an update of No One Lives Forever crashed in a legal quagmire in 2014.
Yeah, that's disappointing. And somewhere, you see, I have No One Lives Forever, but the disc is broken, so I can't.
Ouch.
You know, the other games that they've done re-releases of include another Sid Meier game. Well, two other Sid Meier games, but the one Sid Meier game that might interest you more is... Oh, damn it, I lost it. Oh, where are you? Hold on. I can just do a search here. Sid.
That is so weird that an insurance company would buy game titles.
Oh, right.
Titles.
Sid Meier's Pirates Gold Plus.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
Oh, God. That game, when I was in high school, I would be up until 4 a.m. playing Sid Meier's Pirates. And then I had to get up at 7 o'clock the next morning. It tells you what kind of... They also did all the re-releases of the Tex Murphy games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have some experience, and they also are re-releasing the Turok games. So, yeah. So these guys, what they do is they make those old games that we used to play and make them possible to play on newer computers, because, as we all know, sometimes they just don't work.
Yeah.
Oh, they also did all the Wizardry games, too.
Oh, those are good.
Well, 6 through 8, anyway. So... You ever played System Shock?
Nope.
Yeah. That's a bit... You know, I actually prefer the original colonization to the new one. And what really depresses me is that the colonization I have, the remake by Sid Meier, came with a nice, thick manual. And then I dropped the manual... into what's it called? Into water, and it's completely ruined, and I had to throw it out. And it's because, you know, for a long time, you know, Sid Meier, they were a great source of nice, thick manuals that you could take with you to the dinner table and just peruse through. When I played Sid Meier's Pirates, the first one, I would just read the historical parts of that manual, or Sid Meier's Railroad Tycoon. Oh, there's, you know, it doesn't work on Windows 10. Sid Meier's Railroad Tycoon, and I desperately want to play. I'm gonna have to call up this Kick guy and say, "Hey, listen, can you make a remake, a re-release of Railroad Tycoon? Not 2, not 3, and not Sid Meier's Railroads, but the original Railroad Tycoon Deluxe."
Hmm.
And you know, that is a game I wouldn't mind seeing an updated graphics version of. Just keep all the gameplay mechanics the same, all the way you place down tracks, everything the same. Just make it look like a 2015 game graphics wise. Just, you know, that. See, gameplay perfection right there. It is crack. Cocaine.
I don't think a game needs to have good graphics to be fun, but it
yeah,
is
but,
nice.
Well, that's why I kept on playing Autoduel and Railroad Tycoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
Railroad Tycoon, not 2. But I want, you know, I mean, but it'll be easier on the eyes for a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be high graphics, just, you know, it's a tile game. Just place down little tiles, you know?
What?
Just increase the number of colors.
Yeah.
Put it on Steam so we don't have to do that. Identify the train engine to go move on. I'm not going to get it wrong, even when I did have the book. Sometimes I actually did get it wrong, even though I had the book. You know, it's like, oh, okay, let me try this again.
Yeah, so, and then it kicks you out of the game or something.
Something like that, yeah. It wasn't brutal about it, though. So, yeah. Is there a game that you can't play that you'd love to play again?
Yeah, I want to play The Lost Mind of Dr. Brain, and I want all the Dr. Brain games to show up on GOG. There's no reason for them not to. They got, like, all the other CR games. Well, most of them, not all of them.
Did Phantasmagoria ever appear on GOG or anything like that?
Okay. Yes, Phantasmagoria is on it. King's Quest, Space Quest, Police
Gabriel
Quest,
Knight, I would
Quest
assume.
Glory.
I would assume Gabriel Knight is there.
Yes, Gabriel Knight. The only ones that aren't are like Inca, Lorbo. It's Lorbo games. I always get those two confused. Lorbo, Dagoramra, and Colonel's Bequest. Oh, and also The Conquest of Valombo and Conquest of Camelot. I also want those on there, too.
I
want
to play Rendezvous with Rama again.
Yeah.
And also Congo, even though the novel, even though the movie sucked. I never got to complete those, anyways. So, yeah, our question of the week is related to something I actually mentioned earlier in the podcast, and is, do you or have you pulled video game all-nighters on weeknights? Which means, did you risk work or school, you know, playing games all night? I already talked about, I also, unsurprisingly, had the same effect with Civilization 1 and 2.
Oh yeah,
and Railroad Tycoon, and Sid Meier's Pirates.
I've done the playing to midnight, and lately I've been playing a little bit after midnight with Fallout 4.
That doesn't count. We're talking about all-nighters here. We're talking about into the wee morning, like 3 or 4. It doesn't have to be now. It could be back when you're in school or college. It's easier to do it in college, though, because you scheduled your own classes.
Well,
but that does count. If you schedule a 2 p.m. class, then you're even more tempted to play until 5 a.m.
I would say Suikoden was the time that I actually played an all-nighter. Or maybe I might have done it with a Final Fantasy, one of the early ones, like Final Fantasy 2 or something.
Oh.
But I remember one time I played Suikoden all the way till morning, till the sun was coming up.
I remember this now, right distinctly, almost as if it was yesterday, Christmas 1984 or 5, I played Ultima 4 23 hours of 28. Maybe, no, 23 hours of 25, maybe, or 26. Like, I got very little sleep, got back up, popped in Ultima 4, and kept playing. And it wasn't that kind of game that you'd think would be crack, like Civilization. Not that I didn't, you know. Let me ask you a question. What was the longest binge of Civilization of any of the things that you ever had?
Like one sit-down
game? Yeah, and you just binged on it.
Probably from the morning till late afternoon.
That's it. I hope you mean late afternoon the next day.
Well, yeah.
How about Minecraft? Do you ever put any long hours on that?
Like I'll play for a couple hours, but I don't think it's like crazy amount.
Yeah, back when I didn't have a job, which is now, but I mean before, when I was a kid,
when
it's
you
like
don't have a job. It's really easy to just put a lot of hours into a game. Very easy.
Yeah, I mean Sid Meier's Tycoon ate up almost all my time in college.
Uh-huh.
It was just that good. Anyways, that's the question of the week. Do you or have you pulled long video game all-nighters, you know, these long binge fests on a single game? Let us know. And look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us in our comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, set us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments, because we love the iTunes comments, and it's crack cocaine for us. Even more than binging on our favorite video games. And you can see me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon, and you can see Scott at Alpha Shard on Twitter as well.
So, happy gaming, everyone.
And yeah, we hope. Are you going to pop in? Are you just itching to play Fallout 4 after we log out?
Yeah.
I'm also itching to play a little bit of Fallout 4 myself. It's sort of like, okay, we can get this over. You know, that's one good. Let me ask you a question before you go. Are you going to work or doing whatever and thinking about Fallout 4 as you're doing something else that you're mm-hmm. supposed to be doing. It's like, oh, you know, I have to do this and I have to do that. And, you know, it's a good yep. sign when a game takes over your mind like that, thinking about your next move. The next level, and I've done this before, and I wonder if you have too, is when you start dreaming about playing that game.
It's I have like, done that, about not this game, not Fallout 4, but other games.
Yeah, I mean, it happened with me with Pirates, game. And it happened with me mostly with Pirates.
Yeah.
It's like I dreamt about Pirates, and then got up and said, I better play some Pirates.
Yeah.
Anyways, if we subscribe to the fact that dreams are just you consolidating all the day's information, then that's probably a reason why the only thing you did that day was play that game.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the question of the week, and we will see you next week.
Okay. Good night. Have a happy gaming.
And go play Fallout 4 now.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.